Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we are on page 63, the first paragraph, which begins with, when we sincerely took such a position, we're only reading one paragraph, and that paragraph ends with, we were reborn. Today's readers are Mo H., who will be reading the text, Sherry Z., will be reading page 164, and I'm actually going to ask Lois P. to be a backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,982, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,988. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Liz A. from California, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Lizzie. And I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Wow. Thank you, Stephanie. This is Terry from Pensacola, Florida. And I just got kicked off and got back in the nick of time. grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself. In our group conscious, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully supporting and declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain a personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, televisions, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service in February. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much for your service, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your shares to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our Big Book study on page 61. I'm sorry, on page 63. I don't know why I said page 61. Top of page 63, the first paragraph. When we sincerely took such a position, we are reading one paragraph. So we'll start with one I. When we sincerely took such a position, and end with, we were reborn. So I am now going to ask Mo H. to get us started with that reading.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie, for guiding us this morning. Mo H. here, recovered in Walnut Creek, California. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed, if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves and our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Oh, I remember attending a Joe and Charlie workshop years ago, and I remember one of them saying, "We were reborn." I just always remember that when I read this. Anyway, so it says, when we sincerely took such a position. Well, the position is in the paragraph before. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided in the drama of life that God was going to be our director. Sorry, my theory is listening to me. God, help me. Okay, here we go. So here we have some step three promises. We had a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed. If we kept close to him, that's the key there in his work. And then we have the rewards also down below, which is, you know, a new power flowed in. We enjoyed peace of mind, which is mental freedom. And so when I work this program diligently, and I use every tool that has been given to me, I do feel this presence of God, and I do have a freedom in my mind, and I face life successfully. You know, right now I'm doing taxes for just the third time in my entire life, and it isn't something that I was very fond of back when I was married, and my husband always did them. And, you know, I don't want to face them, but I'm working with my sponsor, and by doing them one hour at a time, just pick up one little pile and work with it one step at a time, I am slowly working through them, and I'm becoming amazed at myself at some of the things that I'm learning. So this paragraph is really all, it's just giving us all these rewards and promises. If we work this program, if I stay close to God, you know, on a daily basis, I wake up in the morning and the first words out of my mouth are, you know, thank you, God, for another day. And I am appreciative of the day. And then I have time, quiet time in prayer and meditation to be with my God. And then, you know, if I remember, I have a quick forgetter in there, is to call upon God when I need God. And, you know, and there are times I forget and I get upset. And, you know, sometimes I have to do a 10th step around that. But anyway, powerful paragraph. I can't wait to hear what all you have to say. And with that, I will pass and be grateful I got on the line. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Mo H., and thank you all who were tenacious about joining us this morning. We did have some technical difficulties. So now is the time. We will get a list of folks who'd like to share on this paragraph. But before you start telling me your names, I just want to say a couple things. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that means if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, we ask that you allow others the opportunity to share this morning. So who would like to share on this paragraph, please? Let me know your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from.
Justin B., Washington.
Robin T.
Sherry. Sherry B., Los Angeles.
I got Robin P., I got Sherry Z., and who's next?
Carol B.
I think that was Allison B.
Mm-hmm. Donna. Oops. Donna B., Denver.
And we've got Donna B.
Cheryl S., Nevada.
Cheryl S. from Nevada.
Jordan L.
And I've got Jordan L. All right, so we're going to stop there for this first round. And I've got Justin B., I've got Robin P., Sherry Z., Allison B., Dana B., lots of B's there, Cheryl S., and Jordan L., and we'll go ahead and start with Justin B., followed by Robin P. You're up, Justin.
Thank you, Stephanie. Hi, I'm Justin B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington and really grateful to have made it on the call. I was panicking not to get in. But what a cool paragraph we got to read and get to comment on today. You know, for me, when I took step two, my process was I fired the old small g God and put out a want ad for a capital G God who would be all loving, all powerful, and able to provide what I needed. And that's where we're at here. And I just love the fact that, you know, in that step two, I hired this capital G God who was all powerful and provided all I needed. And then immediately when I take step three, I then fire myself. Justin Incorporated no longer exists. It's liquidated. It's dissolved. And I then become the employee of a new employer, this capital G God, and work for God Incorporated. Now, every morning, I can get up and try and have a hostile takeover of my own, of this corporation that I stepped away from. But when I do, I make a big mess of things. Those little plans and designs just destroy me. But if I continue to be, how's it put, if I continue to perform his work well and keep close to him, he absolutely provides what I need and is my new capital E employer. And if I just remember that and focus on being of service to God and to my fellows, what a beautiful thing life becomes. I stop tripping over my own 2 feet, my own pride, my own arrogance of thinking that I got this. But with that trust, this new employer of mine has it and will guide me and direct me where I need to be of best service to him and my fellows. It's a great thing. Anyways, grateful that I got on, grateful I'm able to share. What a blessing this is. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Justin B. from Washington, and we're glad you got on too. Next up is Robin P. and Sherry Z.
Thanks so much for your service, Stephanie. Hi, I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, wow, I'm so grateful for the opening. Thank you so much, Mom. And for all the shares that I've heard so far, I know I'm going to love the rest of them. I love these step three promises, too. And, you know, wow, it's so important to me to cling to God. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, and as we felt new power flow in, we enjoyed peace of mind, we discovered we could face life successfully as we became conscious of his presence. And losing the fear, these are such amazing promises. You know, I've been abstinent by God's grace and for 7 years and one day at a time. And I'm very grateful that my food is used to be my poison. And now, you know, it's literally healing my body and being a blessing to me. And that's all through these steps, this program. And, you know, I'm a gluten-free organic vegan, you know, it's my medicine. It's just a miracle. And I feel like as long as I cling to God, and what I keep noticing lately, I mean, in Costa Rica, there's a lot of stuff that happens. Just, oh my goodness. I keep noticing I can focus on the good and where God wants me. And as one thing happens that I go, oh, you're kidding. And then the next thing that happens is a blessing. What am I focusing on? And they're from just totally opposite places, but it's brain training with God, you know, and spirit training with God. And whatever I focus on gets bigger. So we rescued, they found us, these two starving dogs. And so about a year ago, we rescued two dogs who came to us starving. And they're jungle dogs, and we're in a expat community where people are used to, you know, we call it Little Texas sometimes. You know, it's like very a lot of rules and regs, and people are not liking them being here, and we don't know what to do. So we're just surrendering. One of them fell off a cliff, and she's a miracle. The vet called her a miracle. She was impaled. He did surgery. She's alive still, and she's doing well, but they're jungle dogs. So I just keep surrendering, going, dear Lord, please help us to be a blessing in whatever way you want. And I surrender all. And I know enough to not try to control this. So because of this program, I'd God bump saying this. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin P. And next, Sherry Z.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, Sherry Z, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you all for your determination and perseverance on a technical, difficult day, and for leading so beautifully, Mo. I always get so much from you. When I first came into program 33 years ago, I thought there were just step nine promises and I wasn't getting them. And what I discovered in this close reading as being a part of vision is that there's step two promises, step three promises, step five promises, step nine promises, step 10 promises, step 11 promises, and step 12. And the step three promises ask me to do two things in order to receive them. One is to stay close to God in conscious contact. And the second is to perform God's will, just do love and service, which sounds so simple, except what's the hard part is uncovering and discovering what are those things that separate me from God. And I've been in a really challenging medical issue. And my sponsor keeps saying to me so beautifully, like, you know, this is God's curriculum. What are you supposed to uncover and discard? What are you supposed to learn? And I never, prior to vision, gave myself a chance to learn that because I ultimately went back to the food because I was so uncomfortable. And for me, I thought that meant going to meetings and dumping how uncomfortable I was. But what I really needed to do was say, God, there's an obstacle between me and you. It's a real obstacle. But this is part of your curriculum. And if I'm going to stay close to you, how can we uncover and discover what this is? And this has been a hard 3.5 weeks. And now I'm on medicine that I can actually be with God. But the miracle is that my food did not change. I mean, there was obviously some adjustments I had to make for medical reasons, but I was entirely close to God, even in the pain. And I don't think I've ever had that experience. I don't think I've ever waited to get through the pain and stay close to God because I just got so angry. And I'm in awe of this experience that I can be close to God even in the pain, which I never did. And I don't believe I did it. I believe God, there was a willingness to really want these promises in a way that I've never wanted them before. And to trust my sponsor, the big book, and mostly God and all of you, that the pain would subside. And it has for today. It may be back tomorrow. And more to come, but for today, I'm experiencing the third set promises. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry Z from California. Miracles abound. Allison B, you're going to be next, and then Dana B.
Good morning. My name is Allison B. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater calling from Vermont, and I don't share on the line very often, but I'm so moved by what I've heard so far and just this paragraph in general. And I'm exactly where this is right now in my step work. I'm exactly going from step two to step three. And this is such a promise to me, hearing everyone talk about firing the lower G God and establishing a capital G God. And it's so exciting for me to be able to do that. It's so exciting and promising to realize that I've been worshiping a lower G God for so long. It's sad, but it's really hopeful to know that I get to fire that God and turn and lean into a God that is so much bigger and more loving and enthusiastic and just so in love with me and you and my abstinence and my success. And when I was in the food, I could not face life successfully. That's like the complete opposite of that step one. My life was unmanageable, and I'm starting to face life successfully. And I tested positive for COVID this morning, and I'm like, well, I don't have to work. Looks like I get to do some step work today. So I can't wait to establish a new relationship with this new employer, because it's exactly what I need. And you know, if that's what I get for putting down the food, I'm in. I'm so grateful. And I've heard what I needed, and I can't wait to hear the rest. So thanks for being here for my recovery today, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Allison B. And Dana B., you're next.
Good morning. This is Donna B., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. It is spelled D-A-N-A, but it's pronounced Donna. What strikes me in this paragraph is the opening. When we sincerely take such a position, and I think for me, turning my will and my life over to the care of God is a constant practice in sincerity. Am I sincere? Like, you know, do I mean it? Do I really want to turn my will and my life over to the care of something that I don't understand, that I don't see, that I can't figure out, that is a mystery to me? And through experience, I've learned that, as the big book says, any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And knowing that and having all this evidence to support that, I am sincere in my willingness to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I'm not always able to do it. I have a long history and a lot of experience of trying to take control of myself and others and situations and outcomes. But in my body, viscerally, I feel sincere when I say the step three prayer. I feel sincere when I wake up in the morning and my first prayer is, God, please keep me sober and abstinent today. And then I turn to, you know, God, please direct my thinking. And yeah, life is not always easy. I too have a health challenge. And the biggest challenge is the waiting, the uncertainty. And this paragraph reminds me that God will relieve me of that fear. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna B., and I spelled it correctly and then mispronounced it, so sorry about that. And next up, we have Cheryl S., followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, compulsive overeater. And I think the part that really came to me is we begin to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and or the hereafter. And fear is the thing that drove me to be the director, afraid of how situations are going to impact me. And I currently have a situation in my life. It's not my situation, but it will impact me, my family. But by the grace of God and by this program, I can just let it unfold and see what my part is. And my first instinct was to go to the director's seat and to think, okay, I could call this person and see if they'll do this and this and this and this. And then I was just like, stop. You need to stop, because it's not your plan. It's God's plan. And you're just a player in this play. And you just need to learn your line, accept what happens, and know that God is in charge. And that it's exactly the way that it needs to be. And for once, you know, I can just be a support. I can be a support player. I don't have to be the bossy director. And what a wonderful feeling that is. And I don't know how it's all going to work out. Who knows? But I do know that it's going to work out well, because my past history has proven that to be true. Take some time sometimes to see why things happen the way they happen. But I can't say that I can ever look back and say, oh, that shouldn't have happened. I wish that hadn't happened that way. Because what God presents for me, puts forward to me, is always better than what I could imagine, more interesting, more filled with growth. And I'll finish by saying, I had someone call me last night, one of my outreach buddies, and read to me this section, 60 through 63. But she had to, as part of her instructions from her sponsor, she had to rewrite these pages in first person and according to, you know, her life, and then write her own third step prayer. And it was so beautiful. I was so moved and so touched, and to personalize it that way, it motivated me to want to do the same, to rewrite these pages for me and how I interpret them. So that's all I have today. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you everyone for being of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl S. And Jordan L. will go next, and then we'll take another lineup. Jordan L.
Am I up?
You are, Jordan.
Okay, sorry, I was unmuting. Thank you, Stephanie, for moderating. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and it just started snowing. but I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. God, that language used to throw me off. I got to be real honest here. I was like, we were reborn, huh? Whew. Wow. Those are some strong words. and then I heard a couple of hopeless alcoholics like Joe and Charlie explain what it is that those words meant to them. And I got it. I got what they were talking about, and I sincerely wanted what they had. And I guess like the reason that I understood what it was that they were talking about was because I took a long, hard look at what the food did for me. like I really, really, investigated into that, you know. I really understood that, like, food had been my best friend, my consolation, my everything. Like, it had really, really, like, been there for me, you know. And so I started to understand that in order to stay abstinent, like, I was going to need a God. My God was going to need to do all that stuff for me. I was going to need a replacement, like a sufficient substitute. And I heard other compulsive overeaters talk about it, that, like, God works more slowly than the food. It's not an instant gratification sort of thing. I have to get abstinent. I have to stay abstinent while I'm working the steps. And I really have to like lean into the fellowship very, very much so. I really have to like show up here in a very real, authentic, vulnerable kind of way while this starts to take hold. And it's hard because I'm white knuckling it at this point, you know, like I am white knuckling abstinence at this point, up until this point. And then it's like, okay, this is the kind of higher power I need, and now I'm going to, like, turn my will and my life over. And my biggest, so I say the prayer, right? And it's important to say the prayer, but I really have to start looking out
gentle
after
reminder.
That. Like, okay, I'll wrap up. I have to be consciously aware, like seeking how it is that God's working in my life. So I can see what Joe and Charlie are talking about. I can see what it means to me to be reborn. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Oh, thank you, Jordan L. And it looks like we'll probably have time for about four more. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Oh, and by the way, page 63, top of the page.
UNG.
Lisa J.R.
UNG. J.R.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Miss Melanie C. Got you.
UNG.
Probably one more. I got you, Elaine. Gotcha. Okay, we'll go with those three, and we'll see how much time we have left. Elaine G., and then we'll be followed by Lisa J.R. Elaine G., would you like to share?
This is Elaine G. from New York. I was faced with an unusual situation, and it was a horrible situation. But I think I got through it with the program in God. I mean, I had taken this medicine that had a really bad adverse reaction on me, you know, where I kept on throwing up. And I was in the hospital, and what can I tell you? I had to ask God for the strength to get me out of there because they were abusive to me, the hospital. And I kept on calling people from the program, and thank God I had my cell phone with me, and I didn't even realize how many people I called from the program. Yeah, I called a lot of people from the program, and at one point I thought for sure I'm not going to stay alive, because they didn't give me any food, drink, or they didn't give me my regular medication, and it was a really horrible experience. But it was scary, really scary. But thank God for this program, really. But anyway, I kept on saying to them, oh, my God, I'm going to die here. I'm going to die here. But anyway, came home, and my housekeeper was a real doll. I wasn't in great shape. Just more or less took care of me. And I could even laugh about the whole situation, to tell you the truth. I could laugh about it. I did. Told her that I was yelling. I was yelling, yeah, for them to get me out of there. And I know next time if a situation like that happens, I got to not go call my life alert. But anyway, I came home and I made a couple of meetings, and I shared about it, and stayed really close to God, really close to God. I didn't even know if I was going to share about this, but like I said, it was scary. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Elaine G., and we're really glad that you're okay. And Lisa J.R., you're next.
Thank you so much, moderator. I'm Lisa J.R. outside of Baltimore, Maryland. So grateful to be here. Grateful to be recovered one day at a time by God's grace and mercy from compulsive overeating. Love the text. It confused me for a long time, how to do that. But I realized for myself, it's a real paradox for me. I have to totally surrender, fire myself as CEO, Jesus take the wheel, whatever. I have to totally surrender, and yet I have to hold on to the hem of his garment for everything I'm worth. Because if I don't, if I stray away from God and walk away and say, thank you very much for the tools,
to stop eating. I'm in trouble. But I got it wrong for a long time because I got the prayer. I had foxhole prayers, 911, genie in a bottle, you name it. You know, those kinds of prayers. I was going to God, asking God, pleading to God, and I was never listening to God. That my relationship with God is a symbiotic relationship as it is with the people that I work with in this program. You know, we have in our meditation are divinely inspired to do his work. And sloth will get me every single time. If I shirk any of those spiritual principles or practices, I'm in trouble. I got to remember that the bee cannot survive without the hive. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Lisa J.R. and Melanie C. Are you able to share?
I am. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Canby, Oregon today. I got excited when I knew that this was the paragraph today, and I really want to just come on and tell you a little bit about my heart, and that is there are so many people that shared today that had my story, and that makes me feel so much a part of, because I was not. I was the opposite forever and ever and ever. You know, I could not get sober until I was done suffering because I couldn't let it go. The suffering was bigger than the food was eventually, and a series of circumstances and the men and women that poured into my life. I have what I have today, and I've been in here a few full moons. And I'm going to tell you, I sincerely wanted to be abstinent for a very, very, very long time, decades, quite frankly, because I was 50 before I got into these rooms and got sober. And so this sincerely idea about this idea of God was the same thing. And it took time. And I'm only sharing today so that maybe there's somebody else out there that's like me. I had a real heck of a time with authority, as it turns out, as you might imagine. And that was from the time I was an itty-bitty, 2 years old. You know, I just had terrible temper fits and challenging my mother, which is somebody you don't really want to challenge, but I didn't get smart enough to stop. And then that pattern followed me all of my life long. And so, you know, that kind of aligned with not such a good employee. I had a better idea, and I challenged employers all the time, and until I had to pack my bags and leave the job. And so this idea with God, I had to really wrestle like a feral cat out of a wet paper bag. These promises eluded me in finding this particular power until 15, 16 years later in sobriety, I was tired of suffering. And so, you know, I can say that, you know, words are cheap. I can say that over and over again. And I can tell you that it was deep down in my heart, but I thought my bottoms and my other sincerity was deep down in my heart. But the difference was, in this particular case, in this particular time, was the idea that every ounce of energy in me was going to get to know and tether to this power so that I could internalize it. Because I had a bad relationship here and a bad relationship there with authority and things like that. It needed to be different. I needed to have this true psychic change. And, you know, I did the steps and the psychic change didn't come. But I'm going to tell you, the suffering piece that happened 15 or 16 years, that what I said, into program, I'm going to spend my effort at getting to know how to have relationships with other human beings, and then the relationship with power was able to come. Hey, thanks, Stephanie, for the time. Be well. Bye.
Thank you, Melanie. And Melanie C. is from Oregon, and we have time for probably one more share, one more 3 minute. Who would like to close us out? Who would like to share?
Jody E.
Anyone? Oh, I was wondering if anyone could hear me. Thank you, Jody. Go ahead, Jody.
How many minutes do I have?
3 minutes, yeah.
3 minutes. Okay. Great.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Great to hear you on the line. And everybody, what a beautiful meeting. This is one of my very favorite steps and paragraphs on step three. And yeah, I need to be sincere about this. I need to really, really come to believe and really turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Everything, everything, nothing can be held back. I have to give up, surrender, let go, and let God. A new employer. What a wonderful thing to get to let go and to not have to be the manager anymore. That was exhausting. It was exhausting to try to manage my life. I failed miserably. My little plans and designs got me into the food, into misery. But let's try something different. Let's try something more beautiful, more with more potential than I could even dream of. So more and more, I become interested in seeing what I can contribute to life. And yeah, I am not perfect by any means. I do my best. I suit up, I show up, I ask God to take over and to use me. If you can use me, please use me. And then I see what happens. And it's a journey, it's an adventure. And I get to watch as my life unfolds. And just to the extent that I do as I think He would have me, staying close to Him, does He enable me to match calamity with serenity? What a promise. So that's my prayer today, that I can do this one more day. Put God in charge. Get my ego out of the way, please. And let God take over. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jody E. And I believe Jody E. is from California. All right. Perfect timing. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry Z. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in California, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.